Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
Get thick. We're doing weird movies that are just weird.
They're so weird.
So weird.
Later in the show, we'll be talking about The Pit from 1981, Canucksploitation.
Intensely weird.
That's our intensely weird movie for the week. Andy's going to review Itsy Bitsy for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. But first, I wanted to say we did our mailing list raffle. And Andy Ivins won, but he was kind enough to point out that he's won before.
God damn it. That's supposed to be random.
Yeah. So before we get into the meat of the show, I am going to select another mailing list person. Yeah.
This is terribly exciting. This is unprecedented.
Oh. Well,
Andy is like the Australian Mark Watts.
There you go.
So Andy
Mark Watts has won like three times.
Andy has selflessly given up his option to choose.
So kind.
And instead, Chris Drake.
Oh,
who I don't believe has won.
I feel he's won already too.
Well, fucking too bad.
I don't think he has.
So Chris, here is your mission. Should you choose to accept it?
Now this one's extremely short notice because we need to know by Friday.
You just need like the wackiest, fucking weirdest movie, and it has to be, you know, gettable. Easily gettable. For us to watch, and it just needs to be a movie that makes you go, "Duh, fuck." Think about how you felt the first time you saw The Room or Birdemic.
That's a good point.
You know?
Birdemic didn't do that to me. That was just stupid.
I only watched the Riff Trax version, but...
Well, same.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have.
Such as Seals. Which is something that I still say to this day.
Syllabanos.
So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody.
Howdy. How do you do?
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Oh, I'm footloose and fancy free today.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm fancy free. Not so much footloose, though.
Yeah. You got to cut loose.
Yeah.
Hey, Freddie.
Band dancing in this part of town.
Yeah. Hey, Freddie, how are you?
You got your Sunday shoes on?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I had myself a big boy.
Life is good. Hey, Amy, how are you?
Burger.
I'm good, thank you.
Did you hear that email go off in your ear? It was like,
Amy, how are you?
That was an email to Chris Drake, Amy, letting him know he won.
Yeah.
Amy, how are you?
You know, really, life is hard right now.
So hard.
That's all I can tell you.
Honestly, I'm just happy to make it day by day now because things are just getting so... dark and scary. So
weighty.
Yeah, things are weird.
Weighty.
But you're doing it right. A day at a time. That's strange. All you can do.
Yeah, I watch it every day too.
You watch one day at a time?
Mm-hmm. Just one episode a day.
I've started watching At Home with Amy Sedaris. I had never seen it. It's been on for three or four years.
I love her.
She's so great.
It's such a fun show.
It really is.
It's so dumb, but it's so fun. It's the point of it.
It reminds me of Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Which is something I need more of in my life. So
she has characters.
Mm-hmm. That is fun.
Mm-hmm. She's hilarious.
I just want to point out real fast to the listeners, this is some inside baseball because, you know, Freddie plays the trailers and he gets them on YouTube and he's pulled up the trailer for the Straight to Video Russian Roulette. But like, four videos down in the related, Celine Dion.
I know.
Je ne veux pas from 1987 is four down from Itsy Bitsy.
Yeah.
Spider movie.
It's weird, right?
Well, it says recommended for you. Now, were you playing the song from the Peanut Butter
last
Solution?
Last week you played that song from from her that soundtrack.
So this list is not based on what I'm looking at. These are things that they you think just for me specifically.
And then last on the list, it says something about QAnon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Freddy, you want to tell us something?
We don't do that in this house.
I'm trying to find an interesting one in here.
Are you stupid?
He is.
Elsa's upset.
Elsa Morris.
Yeah, there's nothing too exciting in this list.
Yeah, so we're all still terrified to leave our homes. And even though I have to go to work now twice a week.
I'm even more terrified. Before
shit's popping off out there.
Yeah.
Before bad. I was like, I'm not leaving, but everything seems okay. And now I'm like, I'm terrified even when I'm not leaving. And don't even look out your window at me. I don't want to get your facial COVID.
It's airborne
psychological
and,
COVID.
And it is transmitted via light. And thought.
I'm afraid to open emails now.
You should be.
It's wireless.
I was like, who's COVID-19@gmail.com?
Don't open it.
If you get something in your messenger, just it's not from your friend.
It's from the virus.
Just to pass it on to 10 people. Otherwise, I'll get COVID.
Speaking of passing it on, spreading it.
Yeah.
Thank you, patrons, for continuing to support the show.
Oh, guess what I did?
What did you do?
I mailed a bunch of packages.
She did. Everybody's stuff is in the mail.
Good job, Amy.
I risked my life.
Yeah.
To mail them. I just want everybody to know that. And I risked the lives of everybody in the post office with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We're all just risking our lives just to exist.
So this might be the last time for a while that you have to go to the post office because Patreon will be fulfilling, at least experimentally, if it works out the way we want it to. They'll start fulfilling those requests. And Kelly's working on new designs for that.
Also, I am.
If you're a patron, patreon.com/NOTLP, Eyes on TV, Maddie Field and Fozzie had an episode about the Golden Girls.
Them's my bitches.
The Golden Girls. And then we released episode 102, of Origins, which was originally released June 29th, 2008, which was about The Signal and The Brides of Dracula, with special guest Nathan Hanneman from Whorehound Magazine.
Yes, indeed you do.
So that's all I have to say about that.
That exists.
Those look like comfortable shoes.
Monday night show.
It's a Monday night show.
Must be a Monday night show.
No time doesn't matter anymore, like we say every week.
Honestly, I wasn't, like, when I got up this morning, there was a minute where I was like, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to be because like, for 100 plus days I've been working from home. And I was like, oh, is today a day I have to go to the office?
Right.
Is it a day I would have to work anyway? It was a real
Is this a day where conundrum. I'm supposed to be working on website stuff or stuff for the other job? And did I accidentally start doing things for one when I was supposed to be doing the other?
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't had that happen yet.
Right.
But there's been mornings where I've started digging in on something and then I'm like, oh, it's Monday or it's Saturday. I should be doing the other thing.
I'm so used to not going out that sort of evened out for me a long time ago because of my foot. I haven't gone outside in years.
Kelly's skin is translucent right now.
Oh, shush. Not you guys, the dogs.
Millie.
Kelly's like a cave fish.
Kelly's been dead for years.
I'm like Gollum or those creatures from The Descent. my eyes are huge, but I can't really see.
Your sense of smell is amazing, though.
Do you guys feel like this is a preview of like what your parents, like of you becoming your parents? Like, I find that I'm doing things that since I'm at home now, I'm doing a lot of things that my dad did.
You've been turning into your dad for years.
We became our parents a long time ago when we drove down Corrine Avenue. And we're like, you know, we used to be there.
That's what Elise and I like to call another episode of Where Things Used to Be.
Yeah.
I do it almost every time we drive anywhere.
Since Elise is not from here.
My mom and my dad when I was like 23.
Yeah, I think we all age really fast because we've kind of lived in the same area all our lives.
Yeah.
And we've seen it change so much, and we've talked about like, oh.
Yeah, that used to be the ground round.
It used to be Burger King. And
that was Burger Chef.
And talk about old newscasters too. That's another old thing I've been doing.
Yeah. Nick Clooney.
Andrews.
That's George Clooney's dad.
Sean Cotty.
So yeah. The cool ghoul.
Max.
So Elise is not from here, so she's the wild card, right?
Yep.
So when you go on these drives, is she like, I don't give a fuck?
No,
I think she says it nicely.
And then we gently call out the fact that I'm doing another episode of Where Things Used to Be. And I'm thrilling one. She says she loves it because she loves me.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for those drives. I think it'd be adorable.
When we we went down Corrine Avenue past where we live, and I was like, oh, fuck. Frisch's, Walt's, Perkins, all gone.
Yeah. It feels like Day of the Dead.
I was like, Secret Service used to be back behind there. Burger King was over there. Frick, Kroger's.
Don't you feel like an alligator is going to come slithering out of that Walt's barbecue? Out.
I do.
And there's going to be a newspaper that says the dead walk.
Dr. Tongue is just, he's just wandering where down by that horrible under the sea children's home where I don't know.
Are there any children
by
there?
The ghosts of drowned children. Where
there was,
I don't know.
There was always that place had like the yard, like a prison yard has, except it had a bunch of play school stuff out in it. That was just out there all the time, even all like time. Overnight
never
storms.
Seen a kid there.
No, never once saw a child.
Or anyone.
But a whole lot of really cheap, you know.
You just used to see like random bouncing balls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just straight up.
And, you know, clowns.
Because it's middle school.
Yeah. And an offshoot of the show Where Things Used to Be is what's coming there?
Oh, yeah.
It looks, it's shaped like a Pizza Hut, but I think it's a car wash.
Our Panda Express, you guys.
What? Yeah.
We're getting a Panda Express.
Are you serious?
At the mall.
But for the longest time, the discussion was going next to the KFC down the street. I'm like, is it a drive-thru?
Oh, remember?
Is
it
a car wash?
It's a car wash. It turned out to be a car wash.
It turned out to be, and you know what? Free vacuuming.
Which Can you believe that? Yet? I like that.
Free vacuuming, supposedly.
Here's the thing.
For real.
We're not having that many new experiences right now. Mm-hmm. To be honest, when I leave the house and go somewhere and come back, I'm all a flutter with stories.
Yeah.
Mostly. There's a Panda Express now.
I feel like I need to buy a police scanner. I just sit with a pair of binoculars.
Go to the Corrine Facebook page.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
The reason we were playing the Where Things Used to Be game is because, again, I go out so seldomly. And I when we do go, I don't even get out of the car. I just sort of sit in parking lots, just to ride along. That's true. I haven't been in another
building. He's like a dog. He's a dog.
I love the windows rolled down.
Does she crack it for you so you don't get overheated?
You should start barking at people when they get too close to the car.
No one gets close, but
it's Kelly friendly.
There's a sign that says beware there. When we went down past, you know, where they've destroyed the Fireside Inn, there's a whole complex back there.
There's a manufacturing facility.
Yeah, that's gone.
No. Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
The Fireside, for people who aren't local, is a place where people go to die.
Yeah. That or the Intel Suites.
Or crabs.
Yeah. Or that's where you get your drugs.
Or to murder someone.
To rent by the hour.
Mm-hmm. But not anymore.
But have you seen the complex back there?
Yeah, it's very fancy. Yeah, we went to visit my mom.
I was like, what is this shit?
Yeah. And we passed
by. Looks like they built a city or a university.
I think it's some sort of food processing manufacturing plant.
Awesome. Ooh, that's going to smell amazing.
They make calamari out of pig buttholes.
And they do it there. Kind. They do it right there, guys.
Fresh.
It's that tight ring.
Does anybody else...
Go ahead. What you're saying?
But I was like, does anybody else, like, Kelly, you're not really leaving the house, and Freddie, you don't either, but like, there is a lot of like mental preparation in doing it now.
Yeah. You all of your muscle memory, I think, and synapses are reset. So like, I do the same thing. That's why routine was so important to me. Like, if I broke my routine, like coming back from vacation or something, I would forget to do things going back to my regular life. Like, oh, there's the keys. I have to come back to the house four times before I'm ready to leave, because all those things I would do unconsciously, my programming is broken.
Well, that's because you're not leaving, but I'm more concerned about the like the extra thinking you got to do now. Where you
gotta remember your mask.
Gotta bring your mask.
Well, that too.
Your sanitizer.
Yeah. I almost left the house in my underwear though.
Like, well, recently. That doesn't surprise me.
I was just about to like throw a shirt on.
Like, does anybody?
That's just time. That's not because of the pandemic.
Yeah, Freddie.
That's just
it was going to happen eventually.
Like, I'm in a drive through to get food.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
I'm on the show, Colin.
That's another sign we're getting old.
Colin! I'm at the show.
Hey, what them kids are doing out there?
But
you should have Colin come up.
One of the things I've found myself doing, which is so weird, and please somebody else tell me they do this, like, I want to maintain 6 feet of distance between the car in front of me and the drive-thru. I don't want to park next to somebody's car, and I understand that that's stupid. I'm in my car.
You're just being safe.
It's just weird.
It's all right.
It's weird, guys. There's a lot of weirdness.
It's
good
because it's been ingrained in you.
Right. It's kind of rational
to stay apart. Yeah, it's working, the social distancing guidelines.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't want your car to get COVID, do you?
No, I love my car. I love it. It has underlying conditions. Anyway.
Oh, real quick. Does anybody know what's going into the old Toys R Us?
Oh, well, there's already something there. Store. It's a furniture store.
I haven't been down that area in forever. So.
It's Bob's.
Yeah, it's Bob's, it's a big furniture. Old furniture store.
Bob's Furniture. Oh,
yeah. That's so weird because there's a Lazy Boy right next door. There's too much furniture.
Well, I think there's a
Lazy Boy. I don't think you can't buy anything there.
We bought our furniture there.
Yeah, I got.
Did you really?
Furniture, yeah. We bought a Lazy Boy.
I've never known anyone that bought anything there. Not because it's a nice store. It's just, it seems so expensive.
Well, there was a sale.
Yeah, it was a sale, bitch.
We got a really good deal.
It's okay if you spend a lot of money. I'm just saying, like, I've never seen a person in there is all.
It was more than I wanted to spend, but then I only want to spend a dollar on it.
Amy wants to buy, like, disposable stuff, so every month we have to go buy a new couch.
I think that's what Bob's is.
Yeah.
Now, Bob's is probably that.
That's discount furniture.
It's my kind of place.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Disco snouts?
Yeah. So
listeners, what used to be in your area?
All used to be orange fields.
Are you getting anything new built? Tell us about it. We're getting a Panda Express.
Yeah,
that is exciting because normally Panda Expresses are in like bougie areas.
I know. This is not a bougie area.
Yeah,
it's the parking lot of the mall that's dying.
That's true. Yeah. So what's going on?
It's not
going
to be in the mall. It's going to be a standalone.
It's a standalone next to Longhorn.
Here's the thing:
they have to keep selling off the parking lot so they can keep the mall open.
I know I'm not supposed to like Panda Express, but I do.
It's good. It's good comfort food.
It is good. And they give you like you get like a combination of things. I've only ever eaten it in airports, I think, though. It's to me, I always associate it with airports. What's that?
I think they have one at Kings Island.
Yeah. They deliver here.
I've never had Panda Express, I don't think.
It's basic American Chinese food.
Well, it's
made from real pandas.
Yeah.
I probably still won't. I mean, there's not really much there I could probably eat anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Bourbon chicken, right? Or has that got sugar in it?
Sugar.
It's got sugar in the sauce, probably.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
That's all right. We make our own stuff.
Yeah, we mostly been cooking.
What's this wee nonsense?
I made some really good chicken tortilla soup the other night.
Ooh, that sounds good.
First I made a roasted chicken, right? And we had
that
for dinner.
Grill?
I did. And then I made stock from the carcass.
You liquefied the carcass.
Look at you, Freddie. You're making pizza dough. You're making
I'm making
stocks.
Everything fresh. And,
that's amazing.
Creating yeah, and awesome. Then I made chicken tortilla soup with the leftover meat and
the piles of dishes that I have
there's a lot of dishes all the time.
Confronted with. Mm-hmm.
It's like running a little restaurant. I feel like I run a Greek diner right now. The number of dishes. My menu is 93 pages long.
It's a Cheesecake Factory.
I nailed pizza. I think I nailed pizza now. Like yeah, I made a crispy crust. Like the pizza we had was that was yesterday.
Who knows. I think so.
It turned out really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was crispy.
Freddie, I'm coming over next Saturday. You better make me a pizza.
I'll make you a pizza. I have one dough left. I got to make another batch of doughs.
Elise made, I didn't even realize she made it. She made tortillas out of the stuff we make our pizza crust out of, which is like almond flour and stuff. Didn't even know. I thought she had bought some special low-carb tortillas, and she made me breakfast burrito.
Yeah,
she made the fucking tortillas, man. They were so
pretty awesome.
Damn,
she's so talented.
She's
pretty great.
If I had like a gluten allergy, I would just give into it because I'd be too lazy to make things from scratch.
You would just be sick all the time.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
I mean, you're allowed.
I'd rather be sick than eat food I don't like.
Oh, you know.
Remember, at Mellow Mushroom, I was so disappointed when I found out there was wheat in it.
There's wheat in all crust, though, really, Andy.
That's true.
I like refined. It was like that.
You want it bleached all to hell.
Yeah.
I feel like we never actually addressed, like, I don't feel like we ever got a clear answer on this because I feel like we were all like, it's not whole wheat. And you said it was whole wheat.
I think it's wheat flour. I don't know if it's whole wheat flour.
Is this the content we have promised?
This is what our patrons.
Yeah, this is a horror podcast. Right?
Speaking of patrons, on Thursday we had missed the meetup the week prior. We
needed a little break
because we were both just completely wiped out. But this week was so much fun. We watched that episode of Tales from the Crypt with the ventriloquist dummy with Don Rickles and Bobcat.
Oh, bad.
Such a great episode.
Mm. Indeed.
It goes along with our theme this month.
It's really a defuck kind of thing.
Yeah, because Don Rickles had his twin was on his hand.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
What?
I love that, though. I love that it kind of looks like Don Rickles, the mutant Siamese twin. And I know he's doing the voice for it, too. And then Bobcat's just so great. He's so great in everything he does. Police scanner.
He is. He is amazing.
Yeah.
He's a great director, too.
He is an really great awesome director, writer, performer. Just A+. Good job, Bob.
But I live for those meetups and spending time with you guys, so it's really fun. Really fun.
It's good time.
Anything else before we move on? Amy, you still looking up Mellow Mushroom stuff?
It's wheat flour.
Wheat flour doesn't necessarily mean it's whole wheat flour. Is it the problem that it's just wheat flour, Andy, and that's enough for you to be disinterested?
It's the color of the crust. I need to be...
You want it to be white?
Yeah, white.
It's white.
It's unbromated, unbleached wheat flour.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy.
Sorry.
Mine's white flour.
Thanks for finding that out for us for sure, Amy, because it's been years.
And we'll have to reconfirm it again in the future.
Let's not say we did. Because we're getting old.
All right, we will be right back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Well, this is it. Our new home sweet home.
Looks like no one's been here for a while.
This is really dusty.
Here, kitty, kitty. I got some nice tasting tuna right there for you.
Decide, but up the wall.
worst nightmare there.
Yes.
I love a giant spider. I'm very intrigued to hear what you thought of this.
You talking to me?
Well, you're the one that watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. I think I missed some words. So I was like, what? Me?
If you notice a weird like jump cut anywhere in the middle of this, it's because my sister called to borrow some mayonnaise in the middle of all this. Even though all my devices are turned to do not disturb. Somehow she got through. She got her mayonnaise.
Thank God.
Right?
Okay. You know what I like about Denise Crosby? That she's still rocking the same haircut that she's had since the 80s.
It's true.
No shit.
That's really refreshing. I'm not saying that people need to change their haircuts, but because it's kind of different standards for women, because men can have the same haircuts forever.
And they do.
Yeah.
It suits her, though.
But, unless you're Lisa Rinna or Denise Crosby.
Yeah. Lisa Rinna's looking amazing, by the way, isn't she?
She's banging.
Lisa Rinna?
Even with those.
You mean Lips McGee?
Pens thongs.
Yeah, even with those diapers on.
She is one of my favorite Real Housewives. I will defend her to the death.
But yeah, I'm just happy that Denise Crosby's not giving in to the big hair and keeping her hair cut.
Keeping it real.
Big hair like Big Pharma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was actually excited for this because one of my favorite things is giant things that aren't outsized things, you know, like giant bugs,
size queen,
giant animals. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. Kelly knows my love of old and big things.
I love those. It's very, it's like a cryptid thing. It's outliers, size outliers in species.
That trailer looked pretty solid to me.
It did.
I feel like there's a butt coming from Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But.
Yeah.
But there are no cats in Itsy Bitsy.
But.
No cats in
It
America.
Should be called Shitsy Boring, because that's what it was.
Shitsy Boring.
Oh, no.
Shitsy Boring.
Shitsy Quitsy.
Remember that scene from The Simpsons when Homer was trying Red Tick Beer? And they cut to the factory where they made Red Tick beer, and he had dogs swimming in the beer. And it says, needs more dog.
Oh, yeah.
This movie needed more spiders.
Mm. Oh.
I was promised giant spiders, and I was not given a giant spider.
Well, in the trailer, there was even giant spiders.
But I wanted giant.
That was pretty disturbing, man. One in the bathtub.
I like a spider like this.
Yeah, that's the one you were getting in this. You're getting a large pizza sized spider.
No. Here, let me say it. I went with the impression that it was going to be a lot bigger than this, because the premise is that there's this tribe that worships this goddess who is a spider, and when you think goddess spider, you don't think dog-sized spider. You think giant spider.
Well, maybe
you freaks. Yeah.
No, I'm saying like the spider that was in this movie was scary, but I don't see how people would worship this, because I'm going to spoil this. So if you don't want to be spoiled, skip this review from now on.
I'm leaving.
Bye.
This spider goddess was killed real easily. And I'm
rolled
just
up newspaper.
Big vacuum. At one point it got hit with a book.
Yeah. Did it kill it?
Just like you would with a regular spider. And I just don't think a goddess should be taken out by a book.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Was it like a regular book or was it like an ancient text?
It was a really big book. There's a phone book.
Was it Susie Orman's lifetime guide to wealth?
If anything, it was a thick magazine.
Was it Mary Trump's book?
No, that can't come out. It got locked. Anyway, so there's this tribe that worships a spider, and these archaeologists take the vessel that it's contained in. They steal it, and it comes. It's brought to America to Bruce Davidson.
Was it stored in a waterspout? Is that the container it was in?
If only that would have
been down came the rain, the and it woke the spider up.
It turned out it was just a prophecy. It wasn't even a nursery rhyme.
So Bruce Davidson, I guess, is this
a little teapot, short and stout.
I'm just waiting for you to throw more nursery rhymes in.
Yeah.
His name was Jack, and he was married to Jill.
Uh huh.
So he's jumping over.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm sorry. Please continue.
So, this vase, this vessel that contains the spider goddess, is brought to Bruce Davison, and it gets broken, and the spider goddess comes out and just terrorizes his family. And again, I was scared by the spider, not just because it's a giant spider, but I was expecting the spider that's so powerful that you can't stop it at all. You get bit by the spider, you die, but it takes a while. Because remember in Arachnophobia, you get bit by the spider, you're dead.
Oh, yes. That. We just watched that a couple weeks ago.
That's a great fucking movie.
It is a great fucking movie. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Let's try it again without the language, boys.
Yeah. And you know what? That movie was not lacking in spiders.
It wasn't. I had the novelization.
What?
Did you smash a spider with the novelization?
Oh, no. I wouldn't get close to spiders.
What did you say, Kelly?
I said I wouldn't even get near a spider.
Oh, yeah.
To hit it with a book. But it did come with a lot of, like, it came with spiders. It was like a starter pack, a spider starter pack.
What?
I don't know.
And also, this movie had too much going on. Everybody had a backstory that was not needed. If you wrap a movie around a giant spider, it should be about the giant spider.
Yeah, creature features. Like, I'm not saying you can't inject some interesting character shit in, but you got to do it in a clever way so that it's not overshadowing your creature.
I think the standard, the boilerplate scenario for these kinds of movies is they're experts who are brought into the situation. Is that what happened here or no?
No, they just happened upon this spider, giant spider. Yeah. Nobody's an expert really except for Bruce Davison.
Somebody sat down on a tuffet and then they noticed it next to them. I'm sorry.
What is it?
I'm
what
sorry. I can't stop.
But what is a tuffet?
Isn't it a giant mushroom?
Yeah, it's like a bean bag or a mushroom.
I always imagined it as a mushroom.
That's kind of terrifying too, a giant mushroom.
Or it's a butt plug. That's what they used to call butt plugs. I just looked it up.
Yeah. Sat on a tuffet, eating curds and whey. No, whey. Whey.
Whey.
Yeah, this movie was just too complicated for its own good. Just stick to the giant spider. Bruce Davison is an archaeologist. He's kind of homebound. He's has very poor health, so he hires this live-in nurse and her family to come in and take care of him. And she has this backstory, and it was just unneeded.
Wait, which character does Denise Crosby play?
She just plays a sheriff in a small town that they live in.
Gotcha.
She didn't have a backstory, but she was barely in the movie. It didn't really even need this character, really.
That's a shame. That's just bad writing.
Yeah. There's not much else to say about it. I did like the spider. It had like some good practical effects.
Yeah, I was going to ask how the spider was. That's most important to me.
Well, it was a mix of CGI and practical effects, but the CGI was almost seamless.
Nice. I might watch this for that. I was actually
creeped out by the spider just because it was so well done and it looked real. And like I said, a really good practical effect.
Nice.
But everything else around it, it was just boring. Needs more spider, like I said.
That's what Amy said when she tasted my pizza sauce.
Yeah. It's full of spiders.
She said it needs more spider.
It's the secret in the soy. It's full of spiders.
Ooh, what's that crunchy stuff in it?
Oh, no, it's spider legs.
Spiders. Don't worry, I don't use the legs. Just the thorax.
The juicy bodies.
I do use the legs.
I may still watch this just because you so rarely get a giant spider movie. And then on top of that, you almost never get one with good spiders.
I thought you were going to say, you rarely ever get a giant spider movie without all the political bullshit.
You can't avoid it nowadays.
Why are you bringing this into my spiders?
You guys, the spider is a metaphor for the...
I like spiders till they started bashing our president.
It's the eight branches of government.
That spider could take eight knees.
Well, he could take seven. He's got to have one to prop himself up.
Oh yeah. Very, very true. All right.
But I don't know if this movie suffered from my expectations or just because it was not good. It's kind of a little bit of both.
I'm excited about seeing the spider.
I did enjoy the spider.
Delicious.
Well, that's the only part I cared about. So that's a good review.
And it's always nice to see familiar faces like Bruce Davison and Denise Crosby.
Yeah.
That should, his memoir is going to be From Rats to Spiders, the Bruce Davison story.
And I have to say, Denise Crosby looks pretty much the same as when she was in the 80s.
Healthy living.
I mean, she did look kind of old like in the 80s, but that's kind of good for actresses because you don't see the progression of age on people that look old.
You're
already
saying it's better to be born looking like an old man.
No, exactly. You know, as everyone knows, we've been watching Burn Notice, and Burn Notice's mom is played by Sharon Gless of Cagney and Lacey.
Was she Cagney
and
Lacey?
And I was saying she looks almost younger now than she did in Cagney and Lacey.
Well, they didn't have Botox.
Well, not now,
back
but
then.
In 2013 or whenever that show came out.
The moisturizer technology, whew.
Yeah.
Gotten great.
She looks great.
I was watching this movie that had Darla from The Little Rascals in it.
Mm-hmm.
Darla? Yeah, like this was it was a Vincent Price movie. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember exactly which one it was.
It's called
The Bat. The Bat. Have you seen The Bat?
Mm-mm.
It's got a grown-up Darla from The Little Rascals in it.
How'd that turn out?
You can imagine that. She looked like Darla, only big. It was weird. You know Darla was a little girl. She was the one that was in love with
Little Rascals means Alfalfa. Nothing to me.
Yeah.
She was the girl that was not allowed into the clubhouse.
My least favorite vampire.
Darla.
Darla.
All right.
I fucking hate Darla.
Yeah.
Not from Little Rascals. I have no feelings about her at all.
From Buffy.
Yeah.
So, let's see who's up next. Let's get the Jack in the Box out.
It's ready.
Get it out.
I got my crank in my hand.
And we're...
Already, before it's even out.
Well, I'm up first.
All right, let's see what you got.
Boink. I'm good. I live. Whew. Freddy is next.
All right, let's see what we got. Serenity now.
Serenity now. All right, Freddie, you have a Shudder original. It's called Yummy.
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 All right.
Sounds delicious.
When a young couple travels to a shady hospital for cosmetic surgery, the boyfriend stumbles upon a patient suffering from experimental rejuvenation treatment. He frees her, but doesn't realize she's ground zero for an outbreak which will change the doctor's patients and his mother-in-law into bloodthirsty, utterly outrageous zombies.
Are they? Oh. Is it Darla from
it's
Little
Darla
Rascals?
From Little Rascals. Wouldn't
she
that be funny?
She looks really young, though.
She looks the same.
She you only know, just, looks like 80.
Well, I'm glad that she's getting work again. You always like to see it come back.
Right.
It's true.
People got to eat.
Okay.
Yep. So that's going to happen.
We'll be back.
Nasty people. And we know some awfully nasty people, don't we? We all have to go sometime.
He's going through that difficult stage.
Girls.
Now don't let that little perv get to you.
Miss Livingston.
Yes, you know.
Oh, Miss Livingston.
Pretty awful mess. What's left of her?
I know where there's a huge hole in the ground. And at the bottom of the hole, down in the dark, there's some things.
No one else in the whole world knows about them but you.
She's pretty. Really pretty.
Well then, she's just what we've been waiting for, isn't she?
This was a winner for me. By the way, just off the bat.
Yeah, I want to say thank you, Kelly, for suggesting this movie, because I never heard of it until you brought it up.
Yeah, I love the shit out of this movie.
I saw this for the first time when I was probably 11, 12. So I think, and this I could be wrong about, and I know it matters terribly to everyone listening, where I first saw it. I think it was on Channel 64's Eddie Finger's Basement Tapes.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show.
A lot of great movies on Basement Tapes. And I believe the first time I saw this was one of them. And I think it'd be on 64 again. It really left an impression.
Yeah,
because I remember, I mean, I've only seen it those two times, but it stuck with me.
Let me say, so I don't forget to mention this, but at the end of the film, Amy looked at me when the main character meets the little girl, and she's like, "We can play." And Amy's like, "I hope she has a little hole to show him."
Oh,
I didn't mean that.
No, Elise guessed as well.
Yeah. What is this movie trying to say?
I like to call this the Young Ted Bundy Chronicles.
Yeah.
And initially, the screenwriter did not intend for the trollologs. I'm not sure about the teddy bear, probably not either, but the trollologs were just in his head. So it really was just sort of a burgeoning serial killer story, I think.
So the trollologs weren't real?
In the original script. But then in the movie, Lou Lehman decided to make them real, which I actually like. I like Lululemon? Them as real monsters.
Yeah,
I do too.
I do like that too, because you'd think that the lead character is an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
And it's all in his head. I always like when things turn out to be true.
Yeah, and the teddy bear seems to be real too in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was moving its head in a room all by itself.
Yeah, but we saw the same thing happen on A Haunting last night, but we can talk about that later.
I actually, this was better than I remembered it. Like, there's a lot of questionable acting and weirdness, but I think for the kind of movie it is, it wasn't bad at all. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
It's at times it's not the best made movie, but it does make an impression on you, and it does get its point across. It does actually unease you.
Yeah.
And make you really creeped out.
I am confused because I feel like it is only good in that it is something to be made fun of.
Really?
And you guys are like, this is a pretty good movie. Yeah. I like it.
No, it's just the exploration of a burgeoning serial killer, like Kelly said. I just like that origin story almost.
Yeah.
Of,
well, the kid, the performance that the actor, Sammy Snyder's, gives us Jamie.
Yeah.
The creeping kid. It's really good. I mean, it's
great.
It's a disturbing performance. I love the babysitter character.
But his performance is so good because it makes you sympathetic towards him in some ways.
Well, yeah, you drop a few things like about his mom, and you're just like,
they
oh,
do
there's
get that
weird stuff going on.
Yeah, that stuff right, where you know at the beginning of the movie, the mom is interviewing the new babysitter, and there's an appropriate amount of inappropriateness in the way she discusses her son. And then later you get little hints like, you know, my mom washes me. Will you come wash me?
Right.
And
he's
the dad's
12.
Clearly absentee. Well, so,
I mean, just not just that bathtub scene, like you said, like my mom washes me. It's the implications of what he says. It's so creepy to me.
And then they just leave it. Like, yeah. It's, I think that's great. It really is like watching like the development. I feel like this movie either on purpose or accidentally kind of caught maybe what it's like for these people who grow up and murder people.
Yeah. Cause like at the bathtub scene, at one point he asked the babysitter, it's like, why does my mom wash me for so long? And I think it's kind of implied that there's some, I don't know, molestation going on.
Oh,
or
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, a key ingredient in your serial killer stew.
Yeah.
Is to
it's
have
one
a,
of them. You can throw
mom,
that in for sure.
Yeah. You got to have an overbearing mother that is inappropriate towards her son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they got that right. But then I just wasn't sure kind of what
the movie wanted
me to feel and think.
It's a funny combination of overbearing and abandonment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like, the parents are just gone for long swatches of time.
Well, it's almost like you feel like, again, like they're kind of like relieved to get away from, well, at least the father maybe is sort of relieved to get away from him. And Amy, I do get maybe where you feel like the tone is all over the place, because there are also some like overly kind of silly and hilarious moments. And that was another thing that when I was reading, well, Elise was reading trivia about it to me, that again, the initial screenplay didn't have sort of those comic relief moments or what were played for comic relief. Although even those were so weird and just like that, they were also weirdly creepy, like with the cow. Yeah.
And that's it. They almost like, maybe they weren't comic relief. Like it's one of those things where it's hard to read what the intentions
well, he said that
are.
they did add comic,
so that,
like
that
the
was the intention
wanted that in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cause I like it. What makes it really kind of, it's on the level with something like Too Many Cooks for me, where it feels like I'm watching the Brady Bunch or an After School Special or something. And then when it takes a turn here and there, it just makes it by contrast so much more disturbing. Like when he's, claiming to have kidnapped the librarian's daughter.
Oh my God.
That was so like
spying on her. Yeah.
That was almost too diabolical for a 12-year-old kid.
Oh, it was a teddy bear.
The teddy bear came up with it. Is the teddy bear a supernatural mastermind? I think we decided, we think so. But I feel like the movie was also trying to tell me that this kid was had some sort of mental disorder that was akin to schizophrenia or something.
It was all of the above.
I didn't even need.
It's like a perfect
meaning.
Storm of. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a perfect storm of this kid who has psychotic tendencies, who happens to have a haunted teddy bear, who happens to stumble upon these cave people.
No.
So, what are the odds?
What you described is honestly, it's sort of a perfect Stephen King setup.
Yeah.
I mean, when that is the kind of thing he would do,
where it would already, you would already have one level of weirdness and he would be willing to double down on it. But he has a much more masterful hand as a storyteller than the people who made
certainly.
This movie. But no, yes. I get what you're saying. Like you can put crazy on top of crazy with Stephen King stories and weed them up.
Yep.
Delivery is everything. But this, I also kind of ate this up. I thought it was a little weird. You were saying the trivia about the director not being allowed to film any of the nude scenes because his wife wouldn't let him
see that part.
Oh, okay. His wife wouldn't let him film any of the scenes that had nudity in them, except for the skinny dipping scene, because the actress in that scene is his daughter.
So like totally.
Oh, well, see, now that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yikes. That's like Cameron Tamlin territory.
Listen, I'm not having you look at these lady actors with their boobs out. Now, if you want to shoot nudity, you use our daughter.
Well, it sounds like he is a perfect storm for him to be a serial killer too.
Yeah, or his daughter even.
So okay, we have the overbearing, probably molesting mom.
Yeah.
The kid also takes trophies from his kills.
Mm-hmm.
And the bike, and the wheelchair.
I pointed that same thing out.
The tutu.
The tutu.
Now, he then uses those trophies to kind of distract, but I think so
uses
did...
Uses them blackmail, yeah.
Yeah, and BTK. Frame people.
You know, though, he...
He's too he
does,
smart.
Before he starts killing, he does try a lot of other things. He tries feeding the trogs chocolate and all kinds of other little...
Meat.
Sundries, but he realizes they want meat, and this is what sends him down the...
The thing is, the babysitter gives him a perfectly good out when he tells her about it, finally, and she's like... We'll tell somebody about it. And he's like, no, then they're going to put him in a zoo. I have to keep killing. And it's like, dude, you were given.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting that this kid is kind of painted as an animal lover in a way. Like when he won't kill the cow. It's like the same kind of character traits, that, like why he's afraid that harm's going to come to the trogs. Because people don't treat him well.
No. Right. He's still a kid too.
But he likes animals. And these trogs, he gets as a feeling they're his friends. So, like, he's cool with the trogs and he's cool with the cow. He's like, I didn't want to kill you anyway.
It's bad people. He didn't want to kill good people.
And he didn't even want to kill good people. Yeah.
Well, I think that his childlike nature is what makes it extra creepy.
Yeah.
Because his reasoning is like, oh, like a child would think that he can feed these animals chocolate bars.
Yeah.
That's like a very childlike thing to think.
Because what you would want to eat all the time.
They actually do a Krispy weirdly creams. Good job. Again, like, I feel like there's a lot of good things happening with, like, some places where people didn't have the skill to pull off some of what they were given.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they even mention, they talk about he has a really high IQ, but is a bad student. He is, you know, basically, I mean, they really describe someone who has, like, a severe mental illness, but who is, like, really, really smart.
Yeah. He has a terrarium.
And I
forgot to mention that.
And also... What?
Oh, sorry, Kelly, you were breaking up. I said he has a terrarium.
Yeah, he has a terrarium and all kinds of shit in it. Yeah. So he's still very, like you said, there's like that weird mix of like he's childlike and also sheltered. And
do you remember that part of the movie where the babysitter was in his room and she finds like the girly magazine under his bed and was like looking concerned and puts it back? And I'm like, that's the most normal thing about this fucking kid.
Yeah.
Well, she does put it back. I mean, she doesn't hassle him about it.
What's extra creepy is when she finds there's the library book of the tasteful nude photography, and there's the one with that's missing. It's cut out.
Yeah.
That's also very serial killery.
There's a lot of good details in this movie. I do the what I love about the babysitter is that
my memoir's
she's supposed
title.
To be an expert in dealing with children with emotional problems. She's kind of awful. Like,
do you think she just said that? It's like Parasite. She just wanted to get in the house.
Yeah. She's just like making shit up because she does sort of everything wrong with that. And like, there's like, she feeds into his stuff for a minute.
Yeah. She
and
doesn't shut it down
until it's too far for her.
Yeah.
By the way, that actor has had this crazy prolific career, that Jeannie Elias, the one who plays the babysitter.
Yeah.
She's been on Seinfeld. She does voices on Solar Opposites. She was in the 1980s run of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, good for her.
And she does a bunch of voiceover stuff. She was, I started to say a lot of vagina, but it's Pussy Galore. She was the voice of Pussy Galore in Goldeneye for the PlayStation 2 as well.
There's a lot of money to make in the voiceover work.
Yeah. 166 credits.
Damn, good for her.
Yeah. So that's how she got the job.
Well, you bring up the babysitter character, and I thought she was going to be a lot bigger part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But about two-thirds of the way through, she gets offed.
Getting the whole bitch.
I thought that was a nice twist that this character that you thought was going to be the final girl gets, you know, offed by these troglodytes.
Yeah, he didn't even kill her, actually.
Yeah.
The kid.
That was an oopsie.
It was a big oopsie.
Yeah.
And she had the most gruesome death of all of them. They showed them pulling out her entrails and all that stuff. needing them.
They saved it. That was another nice move, I thought. They saved really most of the gore for like their couple of money shots.
Yeah. For the nicest character of the bunch.
Yeah. I have to say, that was a very strong skirt that she was wearing.
Yeah, it held her whole weight on a little bit of the hem of the skirt
that she was wearing.
was keeping her dangled above the drogs until...
Yeah. It was Marvel made.
The babysitter was stupid, though, because her dumb jock boyfriend...
I love that.
The kid lures him into the hole to feed the drogs.
Because he wanted to teach him how to play football?
Yeah, but like... Like what? A few days later, she's dating mustache guy,
who looks like he's twice her age and a porn star, and also looks just like the dad.
And she's like talking to this guy, and he's like, "So he never called you back?" She's like, "Yeah, I keep calling him, can't get him." I'm like, "Can somebody tell her that he's never come home?"
Well, she does say too early on that he's not her boyfriend exactly.
He's also living in a dorm. With a bunch of guys. Feels
like somebody would find her and go, "You were dating."
I don't know. A bunch of college kids would notice a missing roommate.
As the police.
If it's casual.
In this era.
Yeah, I just like how sexually liberated she is. She's like, "I can just move on to the next dude."
Yeah, that guy was. He looked like John Holmes or something.
He did.
Well, people looked older back then.
They did. It's just true.
Was he the same character that said, gotta go look after the little pervert or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
And then don't get freaked like out by a little pervert. Speaking of people looking old, this blew my mind a little bit. When I was a kid and I saw this, the librarian character, Mrs. Livingston, I thought she was when I was a kid.
Kelly, that woman
is younger than I am now.
You thought she was old is what you said. You were cutting out a little bit. But now
you roboted.
So you said you thought she was old when you were a kid?
I thought she was 60.
Is it because of those are the worst glasses ever, the ones that have arms on them that go straight and then come up and then go out and then they have octagonal frames? Oh, yeah, those are the worst.
I thought she was an old woman. Oh, and then this time I was like, she's probably 10 years younger than me right now.
It's also because she was a librarian, and you always think that librarians are older for some reason.
Yeah.
Mm. Elsa farted, you guys, and it is awful.
Don't blame Elsa.
Just a rank dog. Was it you?
No. I did love what I loved, and it was ridiculous and over the top, but that's why I loved it. I love how mean her little girl was to him, her niece.
She was the Lucy to his Charlie Brown.
Yeah, she was she was also almost like a sociopath. Mm. She was so diabolical. There is this part where he's really trying to connect with her too. And he really wants to ride her bike, and she knows he's lonely, and her aunt's got a real boner for him because apparently she saw him naked in a tree once and he was maybe watching her. And ever since then, she's like really... It just wanted to put that boy in the ground. But her niece starts being really nice to him, and he's like, "Yeah, you can come ride my bike." And he gets on, and she has dismantled it. She did like gym with the boxes on the office to Dwight's desk.
So mean. It's
like, what an elaborate prank.
And she's so gleeful with how much she hates, and just is just, she is one of the most unapologetic and just she's just one of the worst movie bullies ever.
She is a classic, an iconic movie bully.
She's like the Joker of kid movie bullies.
I wasn't sad to see her end up in the hole.
Well, no, that's what's great. But holy shit, she went for it, didn't she, with that?
Yeah, I knew that. I knew as soon as we met her that she was going in the hole.
You're going in the hole, I can tell.
Yeah, some people are just destined for the hole.
Andy goes up to people at parties and he says, "Has anyone ever told you look like you're going to the hole?"
And if anybody was going to the hole, she was.
Let's talk about Fred Phelps. That was the character's name. It was Freddie Phelps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the name of the guy from the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah. I didn't even put two and two together.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I did, because I'm amazing. No. Is this kid that bullied our little Jamie?
As everyone in his life does.
On the schoolyard. Jamie's like, "I want to join your club." And Fred's like, "Shoot, punch."
Oh, it's funny, because he said, "I found
what club?"
job.
I found this box full of valuable jewels.
So, as revenge.
Okay, I have to say that she deserved it.
Yeah. It's Halloween. Jamie walks up to him and is like, hey, you know how you punched me earlier? All's forgiven. I found a bag of probably worth $1 million of jewels.
And I can't do anything with them.
I can't take it home. Do you want it for your club?
Yeah. If you believe that. You deserve to go in the hole.
Yeah.
Well, that kid was a real dumb.
And he follows him into the...
So is his little kid girlfriend.
And yeah, his dumb little...
That whole thing with the girlfriend, that really disturbed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And taking the tutu off.
That and the fact that he thought that she deserved to go in the hole too, just because she's this guy's girlfriend.
Well, he
seemed remorseful a little bit about her, didn't he? He says, I'm a pretty girl.
She was pretty.
Pretty gay. Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Livingston. I love when the bear talks.
That's all. Jamie's voice?
It's the same actor. He's doing it. Then the bear, he's like, it's okay. I've got googly eyes. Everything's going to be fine.
What were you going to say, Andy?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's just something so disturbing about when he was taking off the tutu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Really super. They really nailed some shit. Again, I don't know if intentionally or not, but... It really was just like,
he's undressing a little girl.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really disturbing.
They went for it, man.
Even though it was just a tutu, it was still red as worse than it even was.
Well, I think they played most of the kills in dumping people into the hole is kind of for jokes, for laughs.
The old lady in the wheelchair is the best.
And then this kind of moment with this little girl, that was really disturbing.
You almost felt like Yakety Sax should have been playing when he dumped the old lady in there.
Well, I do feel like there was like this period of where they're showing the kills, and it was for him like he almost wanted a montage.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, the Yakety Sax or whatever that Benny Hill shit is, but then he kind of brings it back on like Halloween, you know, and for a couple others, and when he finally shows the babysitter. Then it's kind of like back to serious business.
It's like if in that Macklemore video where he goes and wishes his grandma happy birthday and all that stuff, if he just dumped her in the hole at the end.
I
love the way she's waving her arms as he's pushing her. It didn't even look like a person exactly. It was like, is that a dummy?
It looked like a man in a wig, in an old lady wig. It
probably was.
I like the with the arm. Yeah, the arms, and then the legs were all wrapped in a blanket.
Yeah.
It was very funny. Comical.
Although,
and then
again,
when he was tooling around the woods in her electric wheelchair after was pretty great too, because he was tearing ass.
He was. I thought about this though. I was like, but what a terrible situation to be in. She's blind, and she's paralyzed, and she's in a chair. Like that's a level of helpless that you know is.
Yeah. And it's extra sad because she's like, I think I may have misjudged you.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you didn't.
Nah, you got it.
You nailed it. Meet the Trogs.
So
I have to say, even the name of the Trollologs, that was just it was such a childlike name for him to give them.
Yeah.
Even though they're like these horrific creatures. So it just goes to show like the juxtaposition of this childlike serial killer.
It it reminded me of the Banana Splits.
Yeah, they were pretty creepy. I mean,
because the tra la 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 la,
the song close up.
Yeah, just the song, but the Banana Splits are also creepy.
Tra la 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 logs. I thought the monsters were pretty creepy. It's a cheap costume, but like something about them was just like the sound, like whatever they did. I think they used like bear noises or something, but They there was something really, again, really disturbing about the way they looked and just sort of how they showed them in the beginning.
Well, it's great after he's realized that he doesn't have any more bad people to feed to them, and he throws the rope down to them. And you're kind of wondering, like, I was wondering in that scene, I'm like, what are they building to? Like, why does he have this rope? And he tosses it down, and he goes, you gotta take care of yourselves now. And they climb out of the hole.
Okay, that was kind of sweet, though.
Yeah, I mean that he was done killing
creatures.
Oh, I mean, he's not.
I guess.
Yeah, he loves animals.
I love animals too.
He just hates people.
I was glad to see only people die, in this movie, and not him like shoveling dead neighborhood cats in there or something.
Yeah,
but
I have to say, these trogs can eat a lot.
Yeah, that's why they're expensive pets.
Mm-hmm. I just feel he threw like five people in the hole in the span of like 5 days.
Yeah. Well, how many trogs were down there?
Four.
That's, you know, it's not unreasonable for a trog to eat a quarter of a human in a day. They seem like healthy trogs. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
It's a lot of hanging out in a hole requires a lot of protein.
I guess, but you don't want to overfeed your trogs.
Do you think they listen to a lot of Alice in Chains down there? So then you have your silver bullet moment where the town vigilantes decide to go hunt down the trogs, but not disclose to anyone that they're dealing with monsters. They're like, these are just dogs. It's best we say these are dogs, right? Are we all in agreement?
And we'll just fill in the hole.
And then we'll just bury them. No one's got to know they're trogs.
This made me sad, though, that they kill the trogs.
Well, yeah. When they escape back to the hole, though, there's that great moment where that one trog repels like in an army ad. Yeah, that was my favorite trog moment in the movie.
But it's the fact that they killed this like brand new species basically so like gleefully.
It was because
it just made me mad.
The kid fucked up. You had a chance to do the right thing. Which was unfortunately probably means they will be in captivity the rest of their lives. And I understand this movie is not about this level that I am discussing it right now.
You should write a book called The Pit and Philosophy.
I'm just saying he fucked up because he's a kid. But turns out there's holes aplenty around town.
Yeah.
Because I actually love it. I thought it was really spooky that hole was just out there. You know, 10-15 minutes away from his house, if that, and it's just there.
Yeah, no one else
has been there for how long, you know?
When you were a kid, I think this probably also, I explored in the woods a lot when I was a kid, and I think if I had seen this then, I get the impact it must have had on you, Kelly, because we would always be looking for great hangout spots in the woods, because there's always kids who found a mattress or built a treehouse or whatever. So there's like a hangout spot.
Found a serial killer dumping ground.
Yeah. But you always suspect you're going to find something kind of magical out in the woods at some point.
Agreed. We had three actually in our woods. We tried to build a, there are these two big pits. I don't know what they were.
Trogs.
Yeah.
They were about 4 or 5 feet deep. We could climb down into them and put boards over the top of them and sort of treat it like a clubhouse. And they were right next to each other. I don't know what they were. Big round holes. Big holes.
Big holes.
But not too big. It didn't look like land movers had been like trying to build something. Somebody
dug a hole with a shovel.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
A big hole.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Overall,
Jamie gets pushed into the tree into the tree. He gets pushed into the hole by his
step cousin. Isn't that what they say?
So yeah, at the end, he gets sent off with his grandparents because the babysitter has disappeared. And so they send him off with his grandparents and he meets this little girl on the property who says she's his step cousin and she's real sweet. And actually, Elise pointed out a great thing about this too, is that like she was so devious that it was like she had learned that from somewhere as a kid. It almost then makes you wonder about the grandparents.
Ooh, is it running the family?
Like, are they everyone's abused?
And then it turns out that she has her own trog hole.
That's what name Q Amy. I hope she has a hole to show on.
She's like, let's go in the woods and play. And I'm like, oh, I hope she's got a hole for him.
Well, it was either going to go either way. That's what was going to happen.
I know.
But I love they play the memory, the flashback of him saying, I only feed it bad people right before she pushes him in.
Well, he is a bad person.
He realizes he's a bad person.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, is realizing you're a bad person in the end.
Yeah, right before you get into the pit. Alive.
Yeah,
there's your message.
You know,
I love this movie. I'm gonna watch it again. I might even write a song about it.
Kelly, there's this beautiful 4K like restoration, which is what that trailer was from.
Oh yeah.
So you know how we watched it on YouTube, and it wasn't necessarily the cleanest print, but
it had Italian subtitles.
I'll talk to you after the show, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I got some dresses.
I, 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 yeah. But I just want to point out that the kid's house had a very unfortunate door in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why does your door to your bathroom have frosted window glass in window in it?
Yeah.
You can't get privacy at all.
In well, I mean, we've established that this is a bathroom abuse family.
Well, it's true. Yeah.
They ask you that back then when you would go to the hardware store. Did you want a bathroom abuser door? Or standard?
We've changed.
Yeah. So if I was the like the contractor of that Dolphin house, I would have contacted the authorities right away.
You should. Yeah.
Call 2-for-1 kids right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
kids 2-for-1.
So Amy and I just wanted to say real quick.
Amy and I,
to be foul, we watch a show every night in bed called A Haunting. I kind of hate watch it.
It's so fucking dumb. It's one of those... we're real people telling our story about what a supernatural thing that happened to us. And here's the actors.
Are they reenactments? They're reenactments. The show is on its like 11th season right now.
Damn.
This show thinks everything's a demon.
Now we hit peak like chef's kiss stupid last night.
Oh, wow.
So I have to address that there is, and you may have heard this story before. I think I've heard it before I've seen this. Norman the Doll. Are you familiar with this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. There's a book that this guy wrote about this doll, this cursed doll that he had. But I highly encourage you, if you have Hulu, I think these normally air on one of the Discovery family of networks. Norman the Doll, we watched on Hulu. It's from season 10. And it's episode 8. It is so absurd. Mm. It's just this family.
They're trying to Amityville Horror.
Yeah, like it's clearly a like
they're trying to set themselves up with that
to write books. Story. There's been 2 books already. Yeah, he wrote a sequel to his book.
And I'm a believer, but this was some bullshit.
And the book's like the doll that has to be locked away. Norman the doll.
Look like
stupid.
Yeah,
but they find this doll in an antique store, and the lady, they're like, "This doll looks like hell." And the lady that's there is like, "Well, it came from hell. It belonged to a mother whose son died, and blah blah blah."
And fell in a hole.
And he has some. He set
this doll to evil.
There is quote unquote actual footage in the episode of where he set up cameras in his home. It's like I said, chef's kiss. So I highly recommend if you're into goofy supernatural reenactment shows, this one is special. It's top shelf.
All right.
This episode.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. I want to hear what you have to think about it. If you have time,
I'd love to regroup. But
I'll check out that episode.
Yeah.
I like a good, there are so few good ones. Paranormal Witness is the only reenactment paranormal show that I ever really can get down with, because it was genuinely spooky and the stories
great.
Were good.
That's the Sci-Fi Channel one, right?
No, I think that maybe.
Because there's Paranormal Survivor and there's Paranormal Witness.
Yeah, what's the one on Netflix?
That's Survivor, I think.
Yeah, that's the one where it turns out everybody was molested.
Oh, yeah, that's not the show I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Sci-Fi Network one, I think, or Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, it's old. It's not on anymore, but you can watch it on Prime.
Yeah. This show is
really good.
This show's fun. Only in as much as it'll get your hackles up. Like you'll get irritated with the people probably, which is kind of fun in and of itself. I don't know if it's 100% healthy to do it every night.
Yeah.
Like I do, but it helps me go to sleep.
This is your basic story that you get on this show. I'm a single mom. I just got divorced. We just moved, me and my teenage daughter and my teenage son. We just moved into this house. Then all of a sudden my teenage daughter wasn't listening to me and she was being real mean. And I'm like, demon, she's possessed by a demon. So we got a priest
and they can never move out of the house because of the financial situation,
right?
I put everything into my dream house
post-divorce,
so we've all been through something traumatic. So when we start acting differently and things start happening, we do not think that perhaps we need therapy,
right? They skip over every logical step and make like Batman like leaps of logic to the most absurd answer, and then they almost 9 times out of 10 they know someone in their immediate circle who will come and smudge that house with sage and whatnot.
Sage around.
Yeah,
you don't notice. You don't know a smudger.
I actually, yeah, we do.
That's weird. A weird
circle. Yeah. Weird. You know.
Yeah, but you know, people who are like, I never had anything to do with the paranormal ever in my whole life. I was always a skeptic. So anyways, I had this friend that I spent every other day with. Her name is Chantrice, and she's a Wiccan priestess. She's coming to the house.
The evil in that house.
And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? Skeptics. I have to applaud their conviction.
You don't have to applaud
it. Be convinced. I know, but I just appreciate how convinced they are that it's always a demon or a ghost, even though that there are obvious other reasons for things going on.
I mean, there'd be a lot less entertainment in my life.
If you used a Ouija board once and then...
Oh, it's this gateway.
2 months later, something goes wrong in your life. Well, duh.
It was the Ouija board.
It was the Ouija board.
I hadn't been showing up for work and they fired me.
So I found a smudger.
And they always have a dog that doesn't come into the house sometimes.
Those are good ones. Yeah.
They're just sleepy all the time. Like, I think he's sleeping to avoid the demon.
Yeah.
The ones that really freak me out are the spouses that try to kill the other spouse. And they're just like, oh, it was just the haunting. It's fine.
We got a guy. We unpossessed him.
He's good now.
Now me and my husband, we've never been more in love.
Yeah, he'll never try to strangle me again.
She's blinking in Morse code, SOS, on the TV.
Hey, that ghost made him have 10 beers that night.
Mm-hmm. Fucked up.
That ghost made her burn dinner.
And you know, that ghost made him almost kill his wife because, you know, she burned the roast.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
All right, my love. Oh, boy. Oh, the end of every show. We like to say hi to our Beelzebubs.
We do. Can you see that?
Nope.
No? All right. Let me try again.
Okay. I don't... You can...
I could just do it, but
guys,
I'm real lazy.
What's going on?
How about now?
Yes, now I can see it.
All right. Ernie Perez. Elise Combrink.
Hi, baby.
If I shout it loud enough, she might hear me. Combrink. Amanda G. She never did give us an update on her chicken coop situation.
Girl, how's them chickens?
Jeremy and Cassie. Mark Watts.
Boom.
Blake Heath. Bill Farner. Tree and Alex McNulty. I own a good one.
I own a great one.
Good one. Jeff L. Brandon and Emily.
What's up, dudes?
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler. Monica Martinson, Blaine Turner. By the way, I've seen the messages about what is it called, the Vast of Night, or the Vastness of Night.
Oh yeah, I want to watch that.
I do too. I've had a lot of people recommend it to me, and Monica and Blaine are two of those people. And we're talking about, they suggested maybe like a retro fantasy theme or something. But we'll figure it out so we can cover it on the show because it looks great. Dennis Kennedy. Last but not least, Kevin Corby. Thank you so much, guys, for continuing to support us.
You're beautiful.
Means the world to us.
Yeah.
To
keep doing this. Are all safe from the hole.
Yep. No holes
for you.
You're not
a funny person.
You don't have to go.
You're not a funny person.
You're not a funny person.
You can all ride my bike.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say you were a funny person.
What a gentle insult, too.
It is.
You're a funny person.
Well, it's Canadian.
She didn't mean a gentle. When she said you're a funny person, it was like an epithet.
Oh, I said the F word. I'm sorry.
You're a moose head. All right. We'll be back in 1 week's time with Chris
More
Drake's pick.
Yeah.
And whatever movie I'm watching, I've already forgotten.
Yummy.
Hey,
bye.
If he should go to bed, when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead, and Igor made the nachos in a severed human.